Now, being out there sharing in the streets with people, we've come across with people that they know, or at least they've heard, that God loves them. Many people have heard, God loves you. Some people don't know what it means, or they just don't care. And some of us know exactly what it means, that God loves us. But the words, God loves you, have been thrown up in the air. And it's like whoever catches it, without giving a truly and real explanation of what it truly means, that God loves you. We live in a time where words don't mean that much, or they've lost its value. For example, we say things like, I love that movie, or I love that car, or that ice cream. A quick example of how words have lost its value is the word beautiful. The dictionary says that the word beautiful means exciting, intellectual, or emotional admiration. It's like when I look at my beautiful wife or a beautiful sunset. But I remember I was working at the car wash, and I'm in charge of making sure that I finish running the car and that there's no dirty spots in the car so I can send it to the customers. And I was finishing up, and my manager comes in. He's like, hey, Johnny, just get that corner down there. I was like, oh, okay. So I got the car, and he goes, beautiful. And I was like, beautiful. You know, there's no meaning in me cleaning that little thing and saying beautiful, you know? So I just use that example to explain that our words have lost its value. A few years back, bad words or swearing were only used for people in prison or when someone really wanted to offend somebody. And it was shocking if you would hear a lady swearing, if you would hear a lady talking like that out of her mouth. But today you hear young ladies to older ladies swearing left and right like it's normal. And the swear words that were meant to just offend people are used as it was normal in our vocabulary today. At the car wash, I hear the most obscene and dirty and offensive words, but it's like you almost saying, how are you doing? They mean nothing. And they're horrible words that even through my times, I would have got a slap from an elder or my dad or someone for me even go that close. I remember I was on my break in the city when I used to work at the restaurant, and I was walking through the city, and these little boys, like, I want to say they were like 8 or 9, I don't know, they were just passing by in their scooters, and they were saying the F word. Little boys. And I was shocked. I was shocked because I didn't start swearing till I was in middle school or even, you know, and yeah. So it was really shocking. So I believe the reason why we see these things happening is because we have adapted ourselves into what the culture and the media says it's okay and means to describe and define what love is and what's right. I was looking after some of the lyrics of the most popular songs that are playing on the radio today. And because I hear it at the car wash and I hear it at the coffee shop right next to my ear, and I'm listening to all the new songs, secular songs that are coming out these days. They're horrible. Horrible. I wouldn't even recommend you looking them up. They are dirty and they're against God, and I've heard little boys singing it, parents singing it with their kids. It's incredible. It's amazing. So we live in a time where the definition of the word love, according to people, is based on whatever makes them happy, whatever satisfies their desires, and whatever makes them feel good. If it feels good, do it. That's what they think that love is. They have replaced love with lust. And they think that that's what love is. And that's what all these songs and movies represent, what love is. So since we have adopted this kind of love in our minds and from the culture, when someone comes to you and just says, God loves you, the first thing you do is, the way we think by the culture, we adapt what we think love is, and we bring that to what we think that it means that God loves us. For example, if If I was a guy who would sell drugs in the street, and someone will come to me and say, "Hey, God loves you," oh, then that means that there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. So for people out there, they think that God's love is that God doesn't care what you do or the way that you're living your life. That's the love of God. And if anyone else comes and say, "Hey, that's not right," say, "Who are you to judge me? Because if God loves me, who do you think you are?" And that's a definition that we've experienced of what the world thinks it means when they hear God loves you. And I believe the reason is because we haven't given a true explanation of what it means that God loves you and how He loves you. Men's definition of love is conditional. It's selfish. First me, and then everybody else. And perverse in many ways. I was at work listening to two adults speaking, and this is what I heard. I wasn't trying to be like this, but I couldn't help it because I was doing some stuff in there. And one of the adults said to the other one, "Yeah, you know, if this person doesn't do any wrong to me, then we'll keep the peace. But if he messes up with me or if he does me wrong, I'm going to get him back." And that was, and the other person was like, "Yeah, that's exactly what we do. You know, that's how we live life. You know, as long as you don't hurt me, it's fine. But if you do me wrong, I'll catch you back. You don't mess with me. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth." But God's love is different. Jesus said, as Ben said earlier, "You have heard that it was said, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same?" I like in the Gospel of Luke, in this part, he actually says sinners, not just tax collectors. "And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even tax collectors or sinners do so?" So we see a contrast of men's definition of love and God's definition of love. Right? God's love is different. God's love is powerful, unconditional. It's deep and it's based on truth. It's far beyond our comprehension. You know, if someone slaps you, turn your other cheek around and let him slap you again. If someone asks for your tunic, give it to him. If someone asks you to go an extra mile, go 2 miles. That love is not normal in this world. But God's love is different. And is it not true that we live in times where people are lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God? You know, Paul was writing to Timothy, and he says, in the last days, perilous times will come. And he goes through this list that I just gave. And I can tell you, I'm looking at this right in front of my eyes. We hear this from what in the news. I see it from the way that people relate to each other at work. Is exactly what's going on. And people can always come up with excuses, trying to justify themselves for the way they treat people, how they do it. It's like, "Hey man, you gotta be strong to survive. We're living in a jungle." And that's pretty much what evolution believes is that you need to survive. The best is what survives. So people out there who have no background in Christianity, that's how their minds have been raised and programmed to. It's like, first you make sure you're naked, and sometimes it doesn't matter if you hurt someone else. But this is God's definition of love. He says, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things." Like I said earlier, God's love is out of this world. God's love is something that unless you've been loved like that, you don't know that that is possible to love back to someone else like that. So first we need to receive that love before anyone in this world can even be close to it. Even with the Lord saving me and loving me like that, I still fall short so much on showing that love to other people. And I know I have the Holy Spirit, and I know I've been born again, and I'm growing in that, and we know each other that we need more love. But imagine people who've never had that love in their lives. So how did God show us this love? What did He do for us? How did He demonstrate this love? If you would tell someone outside, go sharing, and wanting to tell people that God loves them, would we just say God loves you and walk away so they think that what they're doing is okay and God doesn't care? This is what the Bible says, that God showed His love for us. That God demonstrated His love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinning, rebelling against God, Christ died for us. That means that even in our sins and rebelling against God, He still loved us first. And He's not waiting for us to clean up our lives or to stop sinning against Him. He didn't wait until they love me. I'm going to show them that they love me. And that is unconditional. He stepped in first. You might say, I was going to share this too, if there was non-believers in the park. And they might ask, well, what is sin? And how have I sinned against God? What is sin? So sin is a transgression of law. So in human terms, to explain what is sin and being the transgression of the law, will be if I was driving on the road, and whether I was conscious or not, I run a red light. At that point, when I run the red light, I transgress the law, and I sin against my government. And it's the same as we do with God. At the point that we transgress God's law, we sin against God. And again, people might say, well, what law? What is the law of God that you say that I have transgressed and that therefore I've sinned against God? And the law that we've sinned against God is the law of our conscience. God gave us a conscience in every single human being that we know what's right and what's wrong. We know what God stands for. Right? Because even the unbelievers will say, hey, you lied to me. Hey, He stole that from me. But our own words shows us that we know the righteousness of God and what God stands for. We know deep inside what is right and what is wrong. And we know when we're doing something wrong, whether we still do it because it feels good, or it makes us happy, or because everyone else is doing it. And that is one of the major reasons that people do the things that they do. So it doesn't matter whether you've been at church. It doesn't matter whether you've read a Bible in your life. We're all without excuse. God gave us His law written in our hearts. We have a conscience. But this is something very important that I really want people to understand. And I know you guys know it, but it's something that I think is really important for us to remind ourselves. That the law was not meant for us to keep. It's not a bunch of rules for us to live by. They're not do's and don'ts that God requires for us so we can be accepted by Him or so we can be saved. The law of God is like an x-ray that shows you you have a fracture of broken bone. It's not the solution. It just shows a problem. And then the doctor can say, this is what we can do. The best way to explain this, that I was asking the Lord, what would be a really cool way to explain this? Would be like if one day my wife will notice that I start driving weird and I start getting headaches and feeling dizzy, and she goes, I think you're losing your sight. I think you should go see a doctor. So I go to the doctor, and the doctor pulls this chart right in front of me, and he says, read these letters. So I go from line one, I read it, line two, and all of a sudden I'm starting to see blurry, and I realize that I'm mixing up the letters. And the doctor doesn't go, oh, you failed the test, give me your license, you can't drive anymore. No, he's just showing me that I need help. He's showing me that, hey man, you're going to have to get some glasses, or maybe get operated, depending how intense it is. That's the solution. But the law of God is just to show us the problem. God says that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Go tell that to someone who doesn't know the God. Go tell them that their hearts are wicked, deceitful, and desperately wicked. They will say, get out of here. I thought you said that God loves me, you know? But you might say, oh, that's a little bit too harsh, wouldn't you say? Calling me that I have a deceitful heart and desperately wicked. And say, well, let's look at the chart of God. Let's look at the law that is written in your hearts. And you will say, have you lied? Have you stolen? Have you used God's name as a cause for in vain? You know, Jesus said, if you look at a person to lust after them, you commit adultery with them in your heart. Those are just four of the commandments of God. And it shows us that we've trespassed against them. You know? So you see that God is not looking for our religious people following a bunch of rules or doing religious works to earn acceptance or salvation. He wants to give us a new heart. Because the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Jesus said this to the religious leaders during his days. He called them hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. I remember one time I was finishing up a car, and the car looked really nice, really clean and shiny on the outside. And when I opened the door to put some fragrance, the car was a mess inside. It was like garbage, rubbish, food, wraps. It was just so dirty. And it made me think, man, that's how a religious person really is. You know? He cleans up. He tries to look religious, walking like that with a long robe and doing things and doing religious things. And God opens a little door of the heart and he sees a bunch of rubbish. And before we came to the Lord, we all had the same heart. And Jesus said, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All things come from within, and they defile a person. And the truth is, that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The truth is that we're not any better than anyone outside. And I wanted to point, if there was people at the park saying, we're not better than you in any way. We've just been shown the love and the grace of God. But the penalty of sin is death. It's like, there's a verse in Proverbs that says that the course of their sin will catch up to them. And I picture like someone leaving a tray of dynamite powder that one day is going to catch up to him. And that's what sin is. One day, it is appointed unto men to die once, and after this, the judgment. So, realizing our sinful state that separates us from God here in this life, and eventually, if we die in our sins, it separates us from God eternally in this place called hell. How did God show those people his love for them? How did God show us his love for us? Well, God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish and have eternal life. It was at the cross of Jesus Christ, by God giving his beloved Son to die for the sins of the world when he was on that cross. When he shed his blood, that's how God demonstrated his love for us. A love so deep and so real that he will give his own beloved Son for wicked sinners such as I. I don't know how to apply this to us as much as how I wanted this to be an evangelistic message, but Jesus said this, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Even though the world doesn't know Christ, more like they have rejected him, as John says, he came to the world and the world did not recognize him. He came to his own did not receive him. Although the world has rejected Christ, God still called them friends and died for them. But it's a gift. It's a gift that they need to receive. His love is unconditional. It would be like me giving a birthday gift. You don't have to give it back. You don't have to pay for it. It's unconditional. But it's up to you whether you want to receive this unconditional gift. And it's all we have to present them. We need to present them with the gift of God that gives a new heart. With the gift of God that pours His love towards them. And His mercy and His kindness. And He teaches us how to love one another. And we need to share this love. We need to give this free gift. Because Jesus says, freely you have given, you freely give back. We have been giving greater than any material, greater than any healthy thing that we have in our life. We have given the gift of the love of God in relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we need to freely give that back. We need to share that message of hope, that message of love. And just to remind ourselves from the point where I wanted to preach this, is that the words "God loves you" are based on the cross of Jesus Christ dying for our sins, are based on the love of God that He sent His Son to be crucified, shed His blood, and rose again on the third day to prove that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. Let me pray. Father, we thank You for Your love, Lord, that You've shown us. We thank You that You demonstrate Your love, that while we were still sinners, You died for us, Jesus. We thank You that You didn't wait for us, Lord, to start loving You. Stop sinning, which we can't. But thank You, Lord, that You stepped in. Thank You that You know us by name, Lord. That You know of our heartaches. You know everything that we've been through. Our brokenness. Our sorrows, Lord. And that You keep all of our tears in a bottle, Lord. You're a father to the fatherless, Lord. And we just pray that You will steer us, Lord, by Your love. By the power of Christ, of His love that compels us. To go out without fear, and to share this good news, Lord, while we're heading till the end. We pray that Your words would speak to someone, Lord, who doesn't know Your love, that You die for them to forgive them all of their sins, to adopted them as Your children, and to grant them everlasting life, Lord. Please reach out to someone and steer our hearts to go to share this love to the world.